This episode of the Inaho Uprising is sponsored by Green Chef and Care Up.
This episode of the Inaho Uprising is also available for your viewing pleasures on YouTube. If looking at people while they podcast is your thing, and might I note, very beautiful people while they podcast is your thing, then you can click the YouTube link in our show notes and gaze along as we talk our shit, or you can search Inaho Uprising on YouTube. Inaho Uprising. You gotta actually change that to make it when the quing come around, because that's the non-binary version of king and queen. Quink. That's a word that I've been using for a really long time now. I don't know where I got that from, but shout out to the quings. We was kings. We was quings. Okay, welcome to...
You can't start off an episode like this. You're supposed to be a slow rolling. You just hop right into the bullshit now, didn't you?
Yeah, I live and breathe bullshit. All right, welcome to the Inaho Uprising, the podcast. I sound like I don't even care. Welcome to the Inaho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one Black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are she and they, and who is ready to be off this bitch because we taking a break, but I will miss you guys.
Yes, big B's, but by B's we mean break. And me, Rob the God, one firefighter feminist with a fatty, pronouns they, them, and daddy. I'm AJ and I forgot that because I didn't write down my intro today. Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Off the top of the dome, though. That's what we call a freestyle. Yeah. Okay, every episode of the Inaho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally, we hit you with interviews with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. On today's episode, we're talking about what happens when you don't get sex ed. Spoiler alert, bad things. Or maybe not, because I don't know yet. I haven't. Funny things. Yeah, Rob knows. Also, queer platonic partnerships and romantic friendships. What the heck are those? Well, we're going to talk about
what
them.
Are those?
Plus, what are those? Boy, if you don't. Anyway, plus... Plus, the Supreme Court ruled on a pretty big case regarding queer couples and their rights to foster. What was the court's decision and what does it mean for the country? We're getting into all that and more coming up.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Inaho Uprising so we can see it and the hashtag Pod In so other people can see it. And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook with the G. And you can join our Facebook group by searching Inaho Uprising Community. That's C-U-M-M-U-I-T-Y. Ooh, you missed it, didn't you? And head to InahoUprising.com to pay a hope.
If you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, Black feminism, podcasting, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, whether virtually or safely in person, or if you'd like us to host a consent, pleasure, or dating workshop, whether virtually or safely in person, for your organization, we would love to. So to book us, you can send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. Let's start it off. Hot, heavy. Here we go.
Grandma! Yeah. Are you a hoe?
You know that thing that maybe it's Jamaicans, I don't know, do when they're like this? I can't do it anymore. But they make that shit snap.
Yeah, you make your fingers like, slap together.
Yeah. Oh, I haven't done that in so long. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
my wrists are all fucked up.
Fucking break
but
our
yeah,
elbows.
That, yeah, that's what he's doing when he's like, yeah. He's like, Anyway, this is Hoe of the Week. Hoes of the Week gets... Hoe of the Week is where we shout out the homies who have supported Inaho Uprising in the past week. Hoes of the Week get special nicknames, and the game, if they choose to participate, is to guess the meaning behind their nicknames. And they win love and affection. Well, maybe not affection, but love, definitely. Okay, Hoes of the Week this week are Pause and Pothos, who upped their pledge on Patreon, and your nickname is Pause and Pothos. Is that you, Rob? Are you secretly donating back into the...
I only did that once.
You have both Pause and Pothos. I don't know. It's real
I'd
sus over
creative.
There right now.
I wouldn't do something that's so obviously me.
That's so obviously you. Pause, Pothos, and firefighting.
Oh, it's not me. What do you mean?
We also have our Aria Macabre, who upped her pledge on Patreon. I don't think Aria ever got a nickname, so Aria's official nickname is Resident Demon, which is what she calls herself on our patrons-only Slack channel. So shout out to Aria. We also have Bryn D., who became a patron, whose nickname is, I might have went on your LinkedIn by accident, and if so, I'm so sorry. If not, just kidding. Ha ha. There's no reason for that nickname. It's not something that actually happened or anything like that. The shorthand of that nickname is LinkedIn. Shout out to Bryn.
It's not something that happened or anything. Okay, nigga.
Shout out to Bryn. Thank you very much for becoming a patron. We also have Carla O, whose nickname is Knockout, who became a patron on Patreon. If you would like to be a hoe of the week and get a cool nickname, here are some things you can do. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can feature us in an article you've written, on a podcast you host, on a podcast that you're a guest on, or you can shout us out on social media. These are non-monetary ways that you can support us. We love monetary and non-monetary support, and we understand that sometimes niggas just don't got it. So please don't spend your last dollars on us. Put you and yours first. And that is a gender and race neutral niggas.
All niggas.
All niggas cannot have it at times. But if you can spare some change, you can donate to us on PayPal by going to paypal.me/innerho, or you can become a patron by going to patreon.com/innerhouseuprising, the links to which are in the show notes. Also, a reminder that if you do become a patron on Patreon, you get a lot of cool motherfucking shit. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get into it because we're going to talk about a little bit of it later. So let's continue starting off hot, heavy, and fast and jump into this segment.
Oh my God, what is that? Oh my God, what is that?
It's so funny because I always think that the drop is getting cut off. And I'm like, oh.
Not sure. Today? Did we ever know what that was?
Does anybody know what? It hasn't been a real troll.
That's what I was always thinking. But I don't know. I feel like you're Cardi B, nigga. Like.
Nah,
you got roaches too.
Roaches are fucking roaches are forever. Class.
So this fuck is this? This is our moment to discuss, rant about, or laugh at nonsense in the realm of sex, love, and dating as it exists in pop culture, on social media, and things of that nature. So first up, a Twitter user, and this kind of went semi-viral. I thought that was fun. Named @SadGirlDiaries had wrote, "This man literally just gave me the longest orgasm of my life. I was coming for like 9 minutes." And then somebody, a man, a cishet man, unfortunately.
Duh.
Damn, y'all are not like, you got to represent your people a little bit better.
Yeah. You know? Just be sitting on the entire population. Yeah,
you're making them look bad
every time they speak.
So this guy retweeted it or quote tweeted it. It was like, "For those that really don't think cishet sex can be amazing," and he puts the eyeball emojis, and then @SadGirlDiaries. Quote tweets get me out, and I'm like, all right, so there was nothing cishet about this sex.
No!
So then I go to her Twitter page, and God, what does it say on her Twitter page?
Her Instagram name is Dick Girl Diaries.
Yes, there it goes. So her Instagram name is Dick Girl Diaries. That is an allusion to the fact that she is a trans woman, presumably with a penis. Not all trans women have penises. Don't ask trans women about their genitals, yada, yada, yada. But this is the segment for ridiculousness. So it's like, this motherfucker was so
hype,
just confident in the cis heteronormativity that he jumped on a ledge and he was wrong.
It's funny because on top of everything, also he assumed that the guy was like cis,
fully could have been a trans man,
and
honestly, like, more likely was, you know, like, because those niggas give better orgasms than you fucking cis niggas. Like, so how about that?
Fuck, that was so funny. And like, all the comments are like, wow, that is a brash assumption. Like, that is a very strong assumption for you to make. And then when she put get me out, it's like, oh no, like, no, you were loud and wrong. But she didn't quote tweet it. She screenshotted
it. Yeah, like, you will never live this day down, motherfucker.
Yeah,
that was funny.
I know, it's a nightmare, sis. I know.
That, yeah. It's also sad when you're like tweeting for a very specific subset of your Twitter and somehow people from outside of grab a hold of it. Yeah, like, what was he doing? How did he's searching in the tweet box like orgasm men. He's trying to like stick it to all feminists out there. Like, yeah, niggas do give orgasms.
That nigga follows that kind of niggas. He follows that hashtag.
What?
Orgasm men. Anytime somebody tweets some shit like that.
I saw a hashtag today that said masculinity Saturday. That made me uncomfortable. I don't know what that means, and I never want to know what that means.
You should have clicked the hashtag.
you can do that research, Rob.
Maybe. I mean, just
not now.
You said Saturdays?
Masculinity. I think it was masculinity Saturday.
Oh my God. So you want to hear the top tweet?
No, but okay.
Okay, I have to tell you. This is from Amerix. Okay, because there's a lot. I think it's just this nigga tweeting. Oh no, it's just this nigga tweeting. He tweeted so much, it became trending. It's just the same nigga over and over. And oh my God.
And what is he? What is the first thing?
The very first thing says, men, good morning. Focus on your life in all caps. Masculinity Saturday. Then the next one says, men, this is OD, fuck is this. Men, I can't emphasize this enough. Women, caps, need men. Men want women. A need is not a want. It's do or die for women. It is fierce competition for them because they are racing against time. So, bro, focus on your life. This is more important. Masculinity Saturday. All right, just one more. Men.
I'm uncomfortable.
Stay away from vulgar women. A feminine,
vulgar?
Stay away from vulgar women.
Oh, please do.
A feminine, respectful woman values what she speaks or writes. Oh my God. Oh no. Oh my God. All right. You ready?
Oh no. I was having a good evening before this. And it's not even Saturday.
This is so funny. I can't. A woman who easily says or writes, fuck, vagina, dick, is a no. Vulgar women are damaged women who come with emotional baggage. Focus on your life. This nigga said, if you write fuck, vagina, or dick, which is so funny because they're three different.
Those are three very words. Different things. Like, one of them is like, your gynecologist will say vagina. your sixth grade health teacher will say
it's basically
vagina.
An elbow with an opening, it's just a part of the body. Right? So don't you dare talk about
your sixth grade health teacher who said vagina
vulgar
is a vulgar woman.
So you can't call a body what about part what like, it is, but you can't call a body part what it ain't. So you
what about someone who has like a child named Richard and they're calling him Dick for short?
Vulgar.
You can't name your son Dick.
Vulgar. Vulgar. Masculinity Saturdays. Yeah. I might just follow this hashtag.
I think that you should take it over. Like, you should make things that are the same, but like more ridiculous.
I don't
and
want
see
no parts.
How much engagement.
I don't All want right, no fine. Parts because you know what's going to happen?
Local firefighter discovered to be staunch misogynist. Ironically, host a feminist podcast.
Or they're gonna find out that I'm joking. They're gonna fucking come for my neck. They're gonna go through all of my fucking pictures.
Vulgar.
Look at this vulgar. Black trans feminist.
It's horrible decisions, listeners.
That's actually the niggas who made that. They said, okay.
Just kidding.
We just can't help it.
That's not real. That's not fact checked.
No. I'm sure
anyway.
This is gonna get cut out.
Nope, it's the last episode.
Yeah, I did fuck not care. Everything, nigga. Fuck everything.
I'm on vacation. Anyway. All right, let's go to our next one.
All right. So do you want to pull it up?
Okay.
I hope you love it as much as I do.
Okay. All right.
So when my sister was 9, she got her first period. I was only 7 and it was only my brothers and my dad at home. So me being the only other girl, she called me in the bathroom when it happened and showed me this huge fucking blood clot that fell on the floor. We didn't know what it was and thought she had a baby at home. We named it Chase. So we picked it up and showed it to our brother, saying it was a child that was going to grow up. So when it was dinner, all of us set a place for it at the dinner table, and when my mom got home, she saw it on the table and panicked, yelling what TF was on the table and who put it there. My sister stood up proud as shit, saying it was her child.
Oh my God. No, I did not like that.
Illegal amount of times.
I did not like that. That made me extremely uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with period blood, but bit squeamish.
Oh, I guess I'm very much not that. Obviously,
no, you're not. Oh man.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
it was it being on the table and them carrying
oh,
it
no.
around. That
don't get it twisted. I cringe. I think I watched it so many times that I didn't actually visibly cringe, but when I first watched it, I was like, what the fuck?
Like, I felt it in my throat, like, ugh, don't do that.
I couldn't still not laugh.
Not their copper penny baby, son. Damn.
Like I said, we named it Chase.
Also, that was definitely her second period, because that shit would have been brown. They would have thought it was doo-doo.
Well, you know, sometimes, like, when I got my first period, I didn't even, like, know it was a period, because it was
brown. It's brown.
But then
yeah.
If you get your first period,
God, you're like, oh, that's my period.
Yeah, God's like,
yeah, I thought I was shitting myself.
The second time, you're like, I'm going to open up the gates of hell.
Yeah, that shit hurt. I was in sixth grade, like, oh my God, I'm dying, and I don't know why.
Blood.
She gave birth to a baby named Chase.
Oh, man.
So when I say this is what happens when you don't have sex ed, that's what happens when you don't have sex ed, that you don't know that periods aren't just blood. Like, they're also blood clots and all kinds of weird shit comes out your coochie, man.
Yeah, yeah. It's like some level of sex. Well, I don't know. Because why did she think it was a baby?
Because it came out
like
of
I'm assuming so some level of education happened from somewhere. Like, she knew a baby comes out of there.
Yeah.
But she just didn't understand the process.
That's like the real, that's real basic though. Because once I was old enough to know what my vagina was, even though my mom didn't tell me anything, she's just like, babies come out your coochie. I'm like, I got that.
Shout out to Chase. Baby Chase. Republicans think it's a real baby.
It's actually an adult.
You should have bought Chase to term. It's a blood clot.
Blood clot.
He's a bumba clot.
A bumba clot baby.
Bumba clot baby. BB. He's part of the BBB. Anyway. Who is ready for some summer fun with the hoes?
Woo!
That's right. I'll tell you who. It's actually our Patreon community. Oh. It's not you niggas saying me at home. It's not you. Unless, yeah, there you go. This month is Pride Month, and in honor of that, we will be hosting a weekend outdoor hang with the hoes who are in New York City for all of the Pride shenanigans. It will be Saturday, June 26th, and all four fully vaxxed up members of Inner Ho Uprising will be in attendance. The hang is aptly titled Inner Ho Uprising's Patreon Pride Picnic. To join, you gotta be a patron. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of obvious there, but I'll explain more. This event is open to patrons at any tier, and the details and time will be posted on our Patreon. If you're looking for more summer fun with the hoes, you're in luck, because we're having fun all motherfucking summer, niggas. On Wednesday, June 30th, we will be launching Inner Ho Uprising's The Whorin' 20s Summer 2021 Scavenger Hunt. This is a challenge of who can complete the most hotivities by September. We got hotivities like preparing aphrodisiacs, getting a Sneaky Link souvenir, and twerking to one of our favorite ho anthems. Each hotivity adds up to a certain number of points, and by the end of the summer, the ho with the most points wins a gift box of the most sensual goods. We are still in a pandemic lovato, and we ask that all folks participating do so with the utmost safety of themselves and others in mind. For the full list of summer scavenger hunt activities and rules, you gotta be a patron once again. That's the recurring theme here. So make sure you come join our Patreon community by going to patreon.com/innerhoeuprising, in addition to the other goodies we offer, like our chat, our movie nights, our virtual hangouts,
karaoke.
And what'd you say?
Karaoke.
Karaoke, we do it all and we have a lot of fun. There are rivalries, there are inside jokes. Like, it's a good time. You'll be able to join us for All that and the fun and games of the Patreon Pride Picnic and the Scavenger Hunt. Plus, as I've stated multiple times in this episode, we are taking a break for the summer and Patreon will be the place to keep up with the hoes. I got hoes. All right, let's get into our next segment. It is Fuck That / Politics. So let's play the Politics drop.
Just another smooth exercise in political manipulation. Deceit and deception, callousness and indifference to our individual problems, and the disgusting playing of divisive politics.
Shout out to our ancestor, Shirley Chisholm, who actually recorded that specifically for this podcast 40 years ago. You thought that she was running for, she was also running for president, but she also did that for us. So oh my gosh, once again,
stop.
Once again, that has not been fact checked. Please do not take that as fact. Yeah, so this is Fuck Is This, which is our current events segment in combination with Politics, the segment where we talk about legislation or public officials that affect sex and relationships, LGBTQ folks, and or sex workers. We're talking about a couple of things that are in that scope on today's segment. So this episode, as I've mentioned five times now, is the last episode before we go on break. So I figured we would do some updates on stories that we talked about this past season. So first up, we got the story of the case of Crystal Kizer. So if they're unfamiliar with that, Crystal Kizer is a Black 20-year-old survivor of sexual violence currently facing criminal prosecution for actions taken in self-defense against her abuser and sex trafficker. We spoke about her on last year in our episodes Don't Sleep on Politics and Dismantle Your Fat Phobia Right the Fuck Now. Both great episodes. I recommend you listen to both episodes, but long story short, as it pertains to Crystal Kizer, in 2018, the then 17-year-old Crystal Kizer was alleged to have killed her abuser and sex trafficker, 34-year-old Randall Philip Volar III, in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So the backstory to that, in February 2018, a 34-year-old man named Randall Philip Volar, his home was raided because a 15-year-old called the cops and said that he was abusing her sexually. And I think drugging her. After the raid, it was discovered that he had a shitload of homemade videos of child pornography of himself and underage Black girls. Despite this, he remained free. So a few months later, then Crystal Kizer, one of the girls being trafficked by Volar, is alleged to have killed him. Her attorneys tried to defend her using a state law intended to help sex trafficking victims accused of crimes. That defense is called affirmative defense in that state. In 2019... Kenosha, Wisconsin Judge David Wilk ruled that in his view, Kizer did not have access to the affirmative defense. So Crystal's attorneys appealed to a higher court in December 2019 after Wilk's decision came down, and they had been waiting for the decision all this time. So the decision has come finally, a year and a half later. So the decision came down and they won the appeal, basically. So I'm going to read a quote from Washington Post, and I'm going to also link that article in the show notes. But it says, the law known as affirmative defense will give Kizer, now 20, a chance to present evidence to a Kenosha judge and possibly a jury that her actions were a quote unquote direct result of the trafficking she experienced. If successful, she could be acquitted of some or all of the charges against her rather than face a mandatory life sentence. And it could break legal ground for trafficking victims accused of crimes. No trial is currently scheduled. The article goes on to read, the proceedings could be further delayed if prosecutors decide to appeal the new ruling to Wisconsin Supreme Court. So if they appeal the appeal, and that process could take a year or more. Luckily, though, and we talked about this late last year, after George Floyd was killed and people were donating to a lot of Black causes, thankfully some money went over to the folks who are supporting Crystal Kizer, and they were able to pay her bail, so she's not like languishing in a jail cell right now. So she will be at home while she waits for that process, or whenever the jury hearing is scheduled. So I'm going to link to this article in the show notes, and I'm also going to link to our previous coverage of Crystal Kizer's case in the show notes. Also, shout out to Instagram user who I couldn't find, but who actually updated me about this because I didn't even know that this had happened. So thank you for keeping us in the loop, folks. Any thoughts about that, Rob?
I'm happy that there's a step.
Yeah.
The justice system is so fucking unforgiving. but it's like there's something. So at least there's hope. And I mean, yeah, this story doesn't get as much coverage as it got in the beginning. Because I still haven't seen anything floating around about that. So thank you for the update for reals.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So next up, we're going to continue the segment with the fact that the Supreme Court ruled on a pretty big case regarding queer couples and their rights to foster. What was the court's decision and what does it mean for the country? Find out after this. All right, y'all. It's a hot human summer. Not humans on fire, but just like the gender neutral version of Meg Thee Stallion's Hot Girl Summer. Anyway, and you don't want to spend your good hoe time whipping up elaborate meals to sustain yourself. You know, you're not trying to do that. Ooh. However, yeah, boo, we hate that. Unless you like to do that, in which case, please continue. However, it is also quite expensive outside these days as someone who has now ventured outside. The fuck is going on out there? So we don't want to blow all of our money on takeout. What's the solution? I'll tell you, it's Green Chef. Green Chef is the number one meal kit for eating well. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes perfect for keto, paleo, and plant-powered diets, and just like, I'm just trying to eat food kind of diets, or even if you just want to eat in a more balanced way kind of diets. Green Chef's expert chefs design flavorful recipes that go way beyond ordinary for a diverse array of meal plans and plenty of options to choose from for each week. Everything is handpicked, featuring organic vegetables and high quality proteins delivered to your door, pre-measured and mostly prepped in insulated packaging. See, that mostly prepped part is important because that's where you save your time. Green Chef is the most sustainable kit, offsetting 100% of its direct carbon emissions and plastic packaging in every box, so you feel great about what you're eating and how it got on your table. My personal favorite part of Green Chef is that it is quick and offers a variety of delicious options for whatever your palate calls for. Plant-based recipes do not always hit. I'm sorry, they don't. Sometimes that shit is just fucking leaves on a plate, son. But Green Chef's plant-powered box really left me feeling not only nourished, but my taste buds feeling satisfied. Rob, you've also tried Green Chef. What did you think of it?
My favorite part was the food I received was very fresh. Even kept some of it in my fridge for a long-ass time. That shit did not go bad. The instructions were clear and concise, because, you know, a nigga cannot follow instructions.
But that's I didn't fuck it up. That's even more important. There you go. So in the past, you might have heard us singing the praises of a similar meal kit called HelloFresh. Well, plot twist, Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh. And with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everybody. So if you're digging the Green Chef vibes and want to give it a try, man, have we got a deal for you. Go to greenchef.com/IHU100 and use the code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Once again, you can go to greenchef.com/I-HU100, that's the number 100, and use code IHU100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Okasia, now let's talk about Fulton versus Philadelphia. That is a Supreme Court case ruling on whether or not a state-funded foster care agency had the right to discriminate against LGBTQ, also known as Lijabigatiga, parents on the grounds of religious freedom. So we spoke about this in our episode, Normalized Queer Family Structures. I will also be linking that in the show notes. But long story short, once again, a few years ago, it was revealed that a foster care agency in Philadelphia called Catholic Social Services was not working with same-sex couples. The agency was funded by the city of Philadelphia. It still is. Other important context here. I do recommend that you listen to the full episode because I like went over this, but something that's very important that I think is important to say is that there are more LGBTQ children in foster care than one would expect given the percentage of LGBTQ children in the general population, as in LGBTQ children are overrepresented in the foster care system. And so I think it's pretty important to have queer affirming homes. And who can give queer affirming homes like queer people? Something to think about. As a result of finding out about CSS not working with queer couples, Philadelphia pulled the funding from that part of the agency that deals with placing youth. Not the entire agency, simply the part that deals with placing youth in foster homes. CSS got tight about that. So they took the city of Philadelphia to court saying that it was their religious right to refuse same-sex couples. So they lost the case twice in two lower courts, and then they they surprealed. What? I like that word though. Surpreal. They appealed to the Supreme Court, which brings us to now. So the SCOTUS finally came down with their decision last week at the time that you're hearing this, and they ruled, drum roll, that Philadelphia violated the First Amendment's free exercise clause by refusing to contract with a Catholic foster agency. I'm gonna read another quote from Washington Post because I have a subscription to them. So that's where I get all my articles. Not all of them, but a lot. In a narrow ruling, the court deemed that the city's actions were not neutral toward Catholic social services. The court decided not to rule on the larger question about the expansion of religious liberty claims, though at least three conservative justices urged the court to do so. So this is me speaking again. In simpler terms, this ruling is very specific and doesn't mean that now all taxpayer-funded government programs like foster care agencies or homeless shelters can discriminate against same-sex couples while still being funded. It's just very specific to this specific contract, so it's not like a broad ruling. I'm not going to get into the specific constitutional issues that the court found with this specific contract because I'm not an expert in law, but I will link an article in the show notes that says a bit more about that. So a little bit about what this means for the future. Advocates for LGBTQ rights are calling for the Equality Act to be passed, which would ensure that basically this doesn't happen again. So it would ensure that LGBTQ people are never discriminated against in tax-funded programs because it would just be against law. So we wouldn't have to keep reviewing this. And also, if that was passed, we wouldn't have to wait for another case like this to come to the Supreme Court, where the court could easily rule in favor of that being legal, since it is a very conservative court right now. On the flip side, advocates of discriminating against LGBTQ people under the guise of religious freedom are obviously very happy to hear this ruling, but feel that it was a missed opportunity to basically make federally funded discrimination legal. So I personally would not be shocked if another case of this nature is pushed up to the Supreme Court. So keep your eyes peeled, your ears open, your fingers for Braille handy, and all those kinds of things. Any thoughts about that, Rob?
I'm not surprised, though, honestly. But I am happy that it was kind of like a one-off decision and that it wasn't like a thing that went into play for everybody who was trying to do some wild shit like this. Mm-hmm. It's very wild to place religious connotations on something as serious as a child's life. Because mm-hmm. that shit could be literally the difference between life and death being placed in a home that is affirming of you and who you are.
It literally can be life and death. As we've talked about multiple times on this show, suicide rates for trans kids, for example, are extremely high if you compare that to other folks in general population. Yeah, I personally was very surprised that it was unanimous, especially having like listened to the court hearing. It didn't seem like the more liberal judges were going to go in that direction. So I'm assuming it is like literally because of some constitutional issues in the contract. But I like don't understand that. Sorry. Like, that's where my level of understanding stops.
The wording of something. It wasn't even anything like, oh, like we feel like this isn't right. It's like, you know, literally the way that we interpret law, this wasn't done properly kind of set up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It might have something to do, I don't know, like with the fact that they were already contracted before Philadelphia found out. Mm-hmm. And that might not have actually been written in the contract.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Once again, not fact checked. Yeah, we are not lawyers or judges.
Just a jury.
Yeah, we're not judges of law, but I'll be a judge of that twerk contest, though. All right, next up, and this will be the last next up, I promise. I know next ups are annoying, but next up, what the freak are queer platonic relationships and platonic spouses? What is that? But first, we got to get back to hot human summer up in here. That's the recurring theme. In addition to it being a hot human summer, we also want it to be a healthy human summer. To the best of our abilities, of course. And luckily, we have just the thing that can help you out when it comes to the healthy tip. It's called Care Of, and it's a line of vitamins and supplements that are specifically tailored to you based on your needs, goals, and desires. All of Care Of's products are formulated with good-for-you ingredients that are backed by science. Care Of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind each of their products, and your recommendations come in daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into or starting starting a routine. I love an individually wrapped packet. I love something that helps me along in my routine, you know? I like separation of things, things that make sense in my brain and stuff like that. A very cool thing about Care Of is that they offer a free in-depth online quiz that asks you questions about your diet, your lifestyle, and your health concerns to help address some of your specific wellness goals. Care Of's holistic online quiz is like getting a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist without leaving your house. Because who wants to do that unless it's to do hot humid summer things, you know? You can get a personally tailored approach to your unique health needs, and you can retake the quiz at any time as your goals or needs change. You can follow Care Of's expert recommendations or adjust your pack at any time. What you get is totally up to you. So I recently took Care Of's quiz, and I really appreciated not only how concise, but also how thorough it was. They asked me about what I desire from a wellness routine, and I was able to answer with things like muscle recovery and stress reduction. Like, I was getting real specific up in there. And at the end, I had a list of supplements all designed to better support me in those areas that I could easily purchase right after taking the quiz. Talk about efficiency. If adding to your wellness routine is something you're interested in doing, once again, we got an offer for you. We're just offering things on this episode. For 50% off of your first order, you can go to takecareof.com and enter code IHU50. Once again, for 50% off your first order of Care Of, you can go to takecareof.com and enter IHU50. That link will be in the show notes. Okay, let us get into another segment. Segments on segments, nigga. It's segments on segments. All right. I shine bright in all my different colors. Thou doth shine bright, and thou'st and thoomst different colors. All right, this is our topic of the day, where we deep dive into a topic as it pertains to sex, love, and or dating, and sometimes other shit. Today we're talking about queer platonic partnerships, romantic friendships, and more. Rob is going to tell us a little bit about why we're talking about this.
So I have a friend who I am very close to, but I don't desire to be with him. But I don't desire to do anything sexual with him, even though we've had sex before. But I do like to be very close to him. I like to lay on him and cuddle with him, but it's just not very, there isn't a romantic part to it. And we talk daily. If we don't talk daily, we hit each other up at the same time, usually like, bitch, where the fuck you been at? But it's always...
You have an astral connection.
No, for real. Like, I literally was cursing this nigga out, like, oh, so you on vacation and you brand new and I didn't have service. At the same time, he texted me like, yo, I haven't heard from you in a few days. Like, you good? And then I couldn't unsend the message. So,
and it just D-bag just, phone up in here. He's like, what? Why are you yelling at me?
You can do that on everything on WhatsApp except that one message. I was like, wow, that's so fun. And I'm like, oh, I'm just kidding. But, It is a confusing space to be in. And I guess I just do love him, but in a way that it's not just like it's more than platonic, but less than like full on romantic. It's just something that wasn't traditional. Something that wasn't binaried as everything else in the world is.
Romantic, platonic, man, woman, black, white.
Cis,
straight, heteronormativity. Gay. Yeah, there you go.
Gang, gang, dog, cat, cat, dog, gang, gang. So I took to the place that I go to before I go to Google, Twitter.
I don't know if that's a, that's a good idea.
Okay, well, fair, I go to Twitter fair. For stuff like this when you don't have a vocabulary. Because, like, what am I going to type into the bar? So I like somebody more than platonically, less than romantically. What does this mean? Google would have just gave me... search results about cats. So
fuck that nigga anyway.
Even if you don't want to. So I took the Twitter and I asked, do any of you have friends that you're not in a relationship with, don't want to be with, do not want sexually, but you love them in a more than platonic way? And I was getting all these likes, but nobody was saying anything. And then the next tweet is, why are you N-word with the hard R not answering?
You bleeped out, you bleeped out the E though.
Because I was getting tight, but I now in like hindsight, I realized it's probably because niggas were asking the same question, and they were just like, I like this question, but I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
But after I started threatening my Twitter followers, I did get some answers. One from VCaswell1. I'm in a queer platonic relationship in addition to being in a relationship with my boyfriend. So QPR sounds kind of like what you mean? ? And then we're going to get into that because I was like, no, like, this is like a regular nigga.
He's not queer.
Yeah, I'm like, this is actually pretty straight.
QPR means something else.
Come on. Yes. And then King Checkmate.
Quing? No, I'm just kidding. I'll shut the
fuck up. Please stop. But they said, yes, my two best friends. I realized what a romantic friendship was because of them. Our families are so woven together. It's kind of awesome. And I was like, okay, that is
my heart is beaming up in here.
OD, heartbeat beaming. And then Corey at Corey. They said, I feel this way about a lot of my friends and actually got this definition from one of those friends. My most romantic friendships are with the boys, really. I've had a few with my girlfriends, too. I don't know how to be friends with someone I'm not in love. Or with someone with whom I'm not in love. And then they posted a Wikipedia page for romantic friendship. That's where the rabbit hole started.
If you hear any noise, it's just me and the boys loving on each other hard up in here.
And then lastly, Rose Clip Art Clit. Is there
so that's the perfect at Rose, thank you.
I love it. They said, yes, my sweetest friend and I have decided that we're basically going to be life partners in the sense that we trust each other's judgment to make life choices. Like, we're going to co-parent our kids together one day. We're moving in together in a few months and I can't wait. And that shit is like,
I'm so crying cute. Up in here, son. I'm not actually crying, but obviously, internally
niggas putting crying emojis.
But yeah, exactly. Like, it's this emoji.
They look like right now. So after I saw all these tweets and I hit up Sam like, I want to do an episode about this thing.
They did say that, yes. I can't.
I went on some Lidja Bigatiga wiki. and I got some definitions. So just to be clear, because I actually need to be clear for myself, because once you start throwing these terms together, as you'll see, it gets a little bit confusing.
Yeah.
So platonic is defined as relationship marked by the absence of romance or sex. Mm-hmm. So me and Sam are platonic, even though we have a more than platonic relationship when it comes to Sam's feet.
I was going to say, Rob loves my feet. Is that still your Twitter header?
Yes. It's been like that for a long time, huh?
As it should, nigga. Maybe I should make that my Twitter header.
If you guys go to my page, it's just a picture of me smiling, holding Sam's very, very small foot. And it's so fucking
I do have a quite compact foot.
It's so cute. When your socks match my hair, that's why it makes it extra cute. What a good day. Anyway, romantic is defined as conducive or characterized by the expression of love.
I feel like that one is not I thought it was gonna be.
Exactly, right? Like, if that's what begins to blur the lines of like what a romantic relationship is. Right? Because it is not the antonym to platonic.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought it would be. Like platonic, absence of sex, or romance. And then you would think that romantic would be like the presence of sex. But then also when you talk about a spec people and sex doesn't actually have to be a part of romance, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
And when you say a-spec, you mean asexuality spectrum.
Yes, asexuality spectrum. The thing that I am on.
Yes.
Not
my gang, but just gang in general.
The gang. so a queer platonic relationship, according to Lidja Bigatiga Wiggy.
Did you say Wiggy?
That wasn't supposed to happen, but it did. And I fuck with it. You fuck with it, right?
Wiggypedia. It's just Wiggers. It's Eminem, fucking Vanilla Ice. What's his name? Jack Harlow.
Paul Wall. I don't know if I can even consider that nigga a Wigger. I think he's just really wilding like that.
I like Paul Wall.
I love Paul Wall. That is literally one of my favorite fucking people. Great man. still white. But anyway, a queer platonic relationship is defined as relationships that bend the rules for telling apart romantic relationships and non-romantic relationships. So when me and Sam, or when Sam and I, rather, were going through these definitions during our episode Powwow, because when I said queer, we were talking about it, blah, blah, blah. We also thought like queer as in gay. Mm-hmm. But as we got into a little bit, it's more like queer as in not the norm, not non-traditional.
Yeah.
So that could be anything. That could be a nigga and a non-nigga, two niggas, two non-niggas, a mixture of niggerisms and nigga. You know, everything in between.
Once again, this is a race and gender non-inclusive definitions of nigga.
No, gender inclusive.
No, I just mean like you're saying nigga, but that refers to people.
Yeah, of any race or gender.
Can we get someone who likes to count to do a nigga count on this episode? Because there's a lot.
Out, man.
Yeah, we're from New York. Fuck
yeah, you can't help it. Oh god. But anywho, so that QPR, that queer platonic relationship, like you have a level of emotional closeness and dedication comparable to that in a romantic relationship, though the relationship is platonic in nature. And even that is fucking tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it may outwardly appear romantic. It may include affectionate behavior like kissing, handholding, and fucking.
Mm.
And some couples get married, as we'll talk about. And it can be, but don't gotta be, on the asexual spectrum.
Mm.
I know that what I read was a lot of people on the A-spec identified very strongly with queer platonic relationships.
Mm.
But of course not everybody does. And it's mm-hmm. not mutually exclusive to either. And it also can be monogamous or polyamorous. So it's almost like these QPRs are just like R's.
Yeah. It's very much, exactly. Like, it's a queering of it. So it's like a queering of what is expected. And what is expected is a very narrow lane.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very much like a man and a woman, nobody else. So it's like, what's expected is not fucking, it's not polyamorous, it's not ethically non-monogamous, it's not queer in terms of gender or sexuality, and it's very much like, here's the relationship escalator, this is what happens, this is what we do. And I feel like QPRs is everything outside of that, basically.
Yes, anything.
Yeah, anything outside of it.
And it kind of just,
that still involves, like, I guess, a deep and committed love.
Yes.
Not like, guess, like, it's not a QPR with the nigga who you fuck from around the way.
The nigga who be ghosting you and shit.
Yeah, that's not a QPR.
I guess the main element of it is that connection, like that deep connection. And it, going through the definition in the definitions in general kind of reminds me, what are you laughing at?
It got, you know, the meme where it's like, what's understood doesn't need to be explained. That's what it is.
And that's what this is?
Yeah, but like, I feel like what's understood doesn't need to be explained gets a lot of fucking flack. And I always thought that was kind of fucked up, because those mm-hmm. are still real relationships that people
absolutely
are having.
Absolutely. I guess, like, to a certain extent, this relationship that I'm talking about is kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
This nigga's OD married. I guess that's the whole point, right? This nigga's OD married with like a wife and two kids. But it's not like that isn't like a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like that's something that we don't acknowledge or whatever. But that is not what makes me not fuck with him in a romantic way. Because I totally, like, help him cheat on his wife with me. So that's not it in that sense. Mm-hmm. It's just how it would be. And I think it would be like that regardless of whether or not he had a partner.
I have a question.
Yes.
Feel free to not answer.
Okay.
Do you think that, sorry, let me actually not assume that many things. Does his wife know that happened?
No.
Okay. You have to ask, because, you know, sometimes we don't.
No, sometimes it, but no, I don't. I'm like 99% sure she doesn't.
Does she know who you are?
I don't know.
Okay. So, like, my question was going to be, like, if she knew, would she consider that emotional cheating?
I don't know. I don't know. I think that depends on the definition of new, like new as in know how we interact, like went through this nigga's phone 100%. But new as in him verbally explaining the
dynamic,
the nature of our relationship, I don't think so. But I think that it would be construed as emotional cheating more so because I don't send, like, I only sent a naked picture one time. It was 100% by accident. I was like, holy fucking shit. And I was like, it's too late. I'm not going to unsend it now. But I
just got to unsee my asshole really quick.
That's my titties. And I was like, these are really nice anyway. I was like, well, fuck it. He's like, it's something that I've never seen before. I'm like, yeah, but it's been like 2 years. But just the fact that I send so many pictures, but I also send the same pictures to all of my friends. So, but I think that can be construed as something more than what it is. So I'll send a picture and be like, okay, and tell me that my hair looks good. Mm-hmm. The fuck? Nigga, that's what you're here for. But I guess that's just very dependent. And I guess that also depends on what their relationship dynamic is like.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And what their parameters around, I guess, what relationships are in general, you know?
I guess that can vary.
Because if, like, I feel like if someone's relationship parameters, not saying that theirs are, just in general, are very much like, this is just like the cishet norm. Like, this is het norm. Like, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, if you go up to somebody and you're like, oh, hey, this is my friend. We're in a queer platonic relationship despite that we're married or whatever. And this is a love that isn't quite sexual but is deeper than your typical platonic love. Like, I feel like somebody would be like, nigga, if you don't block that nigga number right the fuck now. What
the
is
fuck
that?
Is this?
Yeah.
The fuck is this? Yeah. I mean, it's like going through these definitions just it reminded me that we have these labels, like I guess when I was in high school I call it like a label, but I wouldn't say it's a label. It's more like a term. Mm-hmm. And we have these terms not to necessarily kind of box in certain behavior, certain feelings, certain existences, but just because it's easier to find community resources when you have a name for something. But also, I still can't say that what I have for him, or with him rather, is this thing.
Okay.
Because there's so much to it, and I think that it would be, I mean, I don't feel like it now, and I don't think there's a fucking point to really sit down and try to dissect it, because I've never mentioned it to him, and it's just fine the way that it is. Mm-hmm. But I think that there could be more, or there definitely could not be more to it.
Okay.
It's a lot going on. But anywho, get to this article with niggas who are actually down with the shits.
Baby, are you down? Who's that? Jay Scott? J-Rock? No, it's not J-Rock. Sorry.
Is that the one that's like, oh, even when the sky is falling? That's a good question. I have no idea.
Jay Sean.
So I think the all the other names fit just as well. So, whatever.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're going to get into examples, some ejemplos of this. So really cool New York Times article that I came across a couple of months ago. Put it in the Patreon Slack. So you could have known about this earlier. But yeah, the article is called From Best Friends to Platonic Spouses. It's an article in the New York Times that was published May 1st of this year. And it is written by Danielle Braff. So shout out to Danielle. So yeah, I recommend that folks read this article, and I'm going to put the link to it in the show notes, but there's just a couple of things that I thought were interesting that I want to pull out as quotes. So one of the quotes is, "There are no statistics about the number of platonic best friend marriages, and many people who are in them aren't open to their situation." So these are, I don't know if these people would consider themselves QPRs, but from what you're telling me about QPR, I think it largely aligns with it, and that these people are friends and they're not interested in each other in sexual ways. And oftentimes they'll date other people, but they feel like a deep connection for the other person. So much so that, like, this is my life partner. This is who I want to spend the rest of my life with. This is who I want to make major decisions with. And also not saying that that is exclusive of other people. but I want to spend the rest of my life with this person as opposed to this is the only person I want to spend the rest of my life with, if that makes sense. So yeah, there are no statistics about the number of platonic best friend marriages, and many people who are in them aren't open about their situation. But chat boards on Reddit and within smaller asexual and aromantic communities have popped up recently, suggesting this could be a larger portion of the marriage population than numbers portray. Article goes on to say, it should be acknowledged that we've really normalized heterosexual monogamy. I can't even say it. That's how much I fucking hate it. Damn, with the patriarchy. All right, sorry. just going tangents. We've really normalized heterosexual monogamous romantic relationships to the point of stigmatizing other kinds of relationships, said Nick Bognar, a marriage and family therapist in Pasadena, California. All of this is to say, I think it probably happens a lot, but people don't talk about it much because their relationships are invalidated by others when they're seen as not being a part of the norm. Any thoughts about that?
For me, it seems as if people definitely end up in sexless marriages. Mm-hmm. And their relationships align more with QPRs. But yeah, because it's not a thing that is spoken about, obviously, because I never even heard the term. Mm-hmm. Not even, like, I know everything. But however, this is kind of like up our alley a mm-hmm. little bit mm-hmm. in that way.
For sure.
And yeah, people end up in these things anyway, but because of the heteronormativity, it's like, well, I'm married to this person, so we're just like a regular ass fucking couple, even though like this isn't, we don't have a regular ass couple dynamic, mm-hmm. but we outwardly appear to have that thing. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But,
yeah, that's interesting because I feel like if this was actually normalized, I hate Twitter for ruining the word normalized for me.
Yeah, but fuck them.
Yeah. But if this was a normalized concept, I think that would be a probably like more marriages would last. And then also it would just be a healthier transition maybe out of marriage where it's like, okay, I still love you and I understand how much I love you and it goes beyond the sort of platonic love, but I'm not interested in you sexually anymore. Also, if non-monogamy was normalized, I'd be like, okay, let's just fuck other people and everything's fine. Shit, there was something else you said that I wanted to respond to, but I forgot what it was. That's okay.
It might come to you. You have time.
It might. I thought that was an interesting quote. Another quote, platonic marriages have been prevalent since marriage became an institution, while marrying for love is more of an oddity in human history, said Indigo Stray Cogner, a sex and relationship therapist in Denver. In the United States, where marriage is incentivized with tax breaks and other couple privileges, getting married to someone with whom you are not romantically attached affords multiple benefits, she said. A platonic marriage is more than a passing year with a roommate who has different ideas about kitchen cleanliness, Ms. Cogner said. A platonic marriage is a deep bond and a lifelong commitment to a nesting partner you build a shared life with. Any thoughts about that?
No.
You're nodding your
head. I had them, and the way that shit came out of your head, that shit flew right out of my head.
I don't know why
head.
That's happening.
Because it's fucking 9:53 on a Monday. What do you mean? What kind of question is that?
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, yes. I was going to say, in other countries, such as countries with arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. Right, those niggas, like 99% of the time, do not be in fucking love.
Yeah.
You've seen all the fucking movies. But their parents arranged them because of the benefits of it, whether that's transcending socioeconomic status or it's kind of usually it. But it's seemed as definitely a more of a business kind of transaction mm-hmm. To make one or both of their lives enriched mm-hmm. outside of love mm-hmm. And it just seems like that in a lot of the countries that I've been to, that people would get married and then they may fall in love after or they may not mm-hmm. But they do not mind living with each other and they have a strong friendship bond and then they have babies for legacy purposes mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting.
Yeah, something that's interesting about all this in general is kind of like, once again, the queering of it and how it just like, well, you said this too, blurs the lines and just creates this nebulous nature of what relationships can be, you know. And I think that I just feel like the box and the relationship escalator ruins relationships, or ruins potential relationships, or ruins like possibilities. Like, what if you do want to marry your best friend or whatever, but like your mom or whoever is like, nigga, you got to get fucking married, and like, now you've just killed you've killed what could have been a great life partnership for something you didn't even really want. All right. Yes. Let's highlight a couple now. So we are highlighting Kima Barton and Danae Brown of Columbus, who are both pansexual and have a similar platonic marriage, as someone mentioned earlier in the article. These people are being highlighted because they are two Black women, and we do love to see it. But there's other couples in the article who are very interesting, and you should check it out. So Kima and Danae have been best friends for 7 years. Each has two children from previous relationships. In October 2020, just before Ms. Brown had her second child, the friends decided to get married and make all of their life decisions together. They're in the process of buying a house and getting a joint bank account. Their children consider each other brother and sister, and they call each woman mom. Here's a quote from them. "We're committed to investing in one another so we can both be successful, and ultimately we love each other so much," said Miss Brown, 30, a disabled Navy veteran. "In every way that you'd look at a husband or a marriage in terms of interpersonal connections and intimacy, it's there." One thing that I found really interesting about all of the couples in this article, which you should check out once again, is that all, if not most of them, are in the legit bigoted community, that is the LGBTQ community. So there was like queer people mentioned, like where it was just like, I'm queer, no further definition. Non-binary people, aromantic people, ace people, demisexuals. And I think that it's very beautiful that like when you exist outside of cis heteronormativity, you kind of think outside of cis heteronormativity. And I think that because folks have existed outside of that, they realize that this one rule and this one narrow lane is like not the only lane, and it's bullshit, and they're like more likely to step outside of it. And now we live in a country that actually, where it's like legal to step outside of it and still gain like these tax benefits of marriage and stuff like that.
There was something I read a long time ago, but I see it, it might be different people, but I see this thing recurring all the time. And it might be something that also happened like on TV and Golden Girls, but I didn't watch Golden Girls, so I wouldn't know.
Okay.
But but it was like a whole bunch of people who were best friends, mm-hmm. and they moved into like a community of houses, like in like one enclave.
Oh, cute.
And I think they were maybe not elderly, but senior. Mm-hmm. Do you hear that child screaming?
I do hear that child screaming.
They're in another house.
It's a loud scream. Kids do be playing, though. And they'd be doing it loud as fuck.
Anyway, yeah, but I think they were senior, but I think the premise of it was that they just wanted to live out the remainder of their lives, like, with people that they loved.
Yeah. And why like, shouldn't they?
Like, right? Like, why would you want to, like, if you had the choice,
why would you want to be alone
in a place where you didn't have...
Because it's gay to do so.
I'm going to find that.
Your husband died, you live your rest of your life alone. You don't move in with Brenda.
Again.
Yeah.
never hang out with people again. Yeah. Never have a hug again. But you're right though. Like when you do live outside of that cis-heteronormativity narrativity, you do start to see things outside of that lens, which is probably why I even like thought to ask that question.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I know that this is not the, I think this child is screaming louder at this point.
They don't like this podcast. They're like a staunch conservative who's like in favor of man, woman, cishet marriages.
This is a turf. Like, what the fuck, bro? Like, sorry. Anyway, nigga. Yeah, that's probably why I even ask this question. Because I'm like, oh, this just isn't a thing that is the thing. And I have people on my Twitter who are of different nature like I. But I like it. And I also don't think that just because I found this word and these things doesn't mean that I have to necessarily define, like try to define all the relationships I've ever had. Like, was it this thing or could it have been this thing? Or, you know, I think, you know, if it comes across my mind, I think it might be worth thinking about. Cause I think I may have had this before with partners who I was in a relationship with, even though we didn't want to be in a relationship, but it was like the thing that to do.
Mm-hmm.
you know, like we were dating, we were kind of cohabitating, we were kind of having sex, that's tea. But we were never like together. Mm-hmm. But even then there was a moment of like cheating in it, but it wasn't like a typical cheating. It was like lying by omission. And so it was a lot like going on, but even in a relationship that could be queer platonic, you can still have elements of like, I guess, infidelity, but more in a not being honest about things that are happening way, especially when it can affect the other person's health. But we out here learning, man.
I like it.
That's it. That's it. And I guess it's worth exploring if I were to meet somebody and, you know, feel these things. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, cool. Well, now I know another kind of relationship that's possible to have. Mm-hmm. Before it's like, okay, cool. I want a romantic relationship, but I don't want to be in a monogamous relationship with you. I don't want to be exclusive with you. Or I want to be exclusive with you. Or, you know, all these little different things. I want to be polyamorous with you. But now it's like, cool. I like you in this way, and I think I just want to have a queer platonic relationship with you, or a romantic, or not a platonic partnership with you, or something like that. And it also made me kind of think about like my friends, because one term that they use, I don't know if they use it in this article, there's another article in the New York Post where they use the term life partner. Mm-hmm. And I used to say that about one of my friends. And I think that I really did feel that way at one point in time. But I think also in the way that you go through the woes of relationships where you realize you don't want to be with somebody. Mm-hmm. I think you also, of course, feel like that about something like this. Mm-hmm. Have a life partner and think that you want to spend your life with them and find out that, nah, maybe I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe sometimes that's why certain best friend breakups hurt so much. Mm-hmm. Because they are like legitimate breakups. Mm-hmm. Because it's somebody you thought you would spend the rest of your life with, even if it's not in like a fucking way, or like we're together way, but in a way that I couldn't see my life without you, and now I have to. Mm-hmm.
That shit do be hurting though.
It do be fucking hurting, bitch. But you know, niggas be growing up, kids be screaming.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about anything else on this subject?
I mean, we could talk about Will and Grace.
We could, but I didn't watch an episode.
Okay, so I didn't. All right, so I'll just go into it real fast. Because I knew you didn't. Especially because I didn't remind you. But I didn't watch an episode. Mm-hmm. Because if I were to watch an episode, it would have had to have been one that focused on Karen and Jake. And by the way, Will and Grace is like a early 2000s like sitcom that was on like channel fucking 11 or some shit.
It was ABC or NBC.
It might have been. You know what? I don't know. I was like fucking seven, but it was basically about the two main characters was a straight woman, mm-hmm. right? Cis woman, and then a gay cis man. Mm-hmm. And then the two supporting characters, which were like kind of like the
comedic relief.
Yeah, they were comedic relief, and it also like kind of like a mirror of them, mm-hmm. because it was like a gay dude, but the other person wasn't quite straight or whatever. But anywho, so there's Karen. Actually, it's a very fitting name for her, and Jake. And Jake is a more feminine gay man as opposed to Will. Mm-hmm. And Karen is a very, I don't know, man.
She's just like red queer.
Red queer and red dom. Yeah. Like dom. Like I will fucking, like, or in red, also red sex worker.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely red sex worker. And was very honest about that. And one of the clips that I watched, like, $500,000? You know what I had to get? $500,000? I had to for $500,000. And I was like, damn, bitch.
Okay, high class escorting.
Anyway, but anyway, to describe the relationship really fast. So considering that Jake is gay and she's queer, but their relationship is very like they do everything together. They very much compliment each other, but then also Jake, is it Jake or Jack?
It's Jack. It's Jack. I'm yeah, dead. It is Jack. I was like, damn, time. That sounds weird, but yeah, no, it's definitely Jack.
Yeah, Jake sounds like extra fucking straight.
Jake and Chad are the two cis heterist names of all time, I think. Sorry, all Chad. Time.
But Jack is like, I can see that. But so Jack, very woven into Karen's life. This is what I got from like the 20 clips that I watched. But like at one point, like married her husband to get him, I guess, citizenship. And like, I guess she had kids, even though you never saw them.
Never saw those kids.
But he was saying, like, I took care of your kids and read them, blah, 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 so you didn't have to. It was a lot of that going on. Or him.
Damn, I should have played the Ask to Media bump. This is an Ask Media segment.
In OD, this part is an Ask Media part, because it's OD, Ask Media.
Ask to Media. I want to see you watching Ask to Media. I want to see you reading Ask to Media. I want to see you hearing Ask to Media.
But then there was like one clip where he wanted money from her and he's like, oh, daddy needs to go to the ATM, and had a debit card and was like swiping it between her boobs. And she's like, decline, accepted it, and gave him like cash.
I have like, vague memories of that as a child, but that was me just like being gay, I think.
Because it's like you wanted to.
Something's interesting.
Great New York boobs. Oh my God. She was pretty hot. And I don't know if it's because she was like hot or if she was just like hot, like demeanor wise.
Combination.
Well, she had big ass head, the way I like that shit. But yeah, their relationship, like they were very like reliant on each other to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And so when me and Sam were talking about Sam and I, whatever, y'all know what I'm talking about. When me and Sam were talking about examples of these relationships, that was the only thing that came to my mind was these niggas. There were like other things, but we're like, nah. But these niggas. But then on top of that, like, think about it. This is two queer people. So it just kind of makes sense. We out here just queering it up, man.
Yeah. Shout out to my mom's favorite show, Will and Grace.
Mad cute.
Good show.
That's why your mom's so fucking popping. Because that
was why are you so open-minded? It's all Will and Grace. Yeah. Grew up with mad gay people, watch Will and Grace.
I watched Will and Grace in the confines of my bedroom. My dad was not with the shits. However,
is there homosexuality now, on TV?
But he loves Modern Family now. And that those are some gay niggas.
Yeah.
But he loves that show. He eats it right up. So
niggas grow. Niggas do be growing though. Even Caribbean dads grow. So there's hope for everyone.
Yeah.
Thank you for that mini Ask Media on Will and Grace. Well, we hoped you enjoyed our conversation about queer platonic relationships, romantic partnership. No, shit. Let me scroll back up because
it's
so hard to remember these words. Queer platonic partnerships and romantic friendships. Because, yeah, I thought it was interesting. So I hope y'all niggas thought it was interesting, too. And if you have more examples of this and things like that, please write into ihupodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear about it. Big finale. That's it for this season of Inner Ho Uprising. If the work we've been putting out consistently for the past 6 months or 5 years, either or, has made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any motherfucking sense, I'm actually going to demand this time that you leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Let everyone you know that you love these hoes. Love us out loud, niggas. We appreciate all of you, though.
I mean, I just want niggas to make sure that they, review us on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, because that shit is so fucking important.
Yes.
If you did not know. But if you would like to follow us on social media so you can keep up with our shenanigans during the break, and if you do not subscribe to our Patreon, I'm sure you see a lot of pictures of us having a lot of fun and drinking a lot of alcoholic and non-alcoholic bevs.
Yes.
So you can do so by going to Inner Hall Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inner Hall Uprising with the G on Instagram and Facebook, and you can join our Facebook group by searching Inner Hall Uprising Community. That's spelled CUMMUNITY.
You had to do it one time for the one time.
I mean, bitch, I'm just saying. And you can head to innerhalluprising.com to pay a hoe.
And to buy merchandise. Animals do be gay, though. You can rock that on your chest. Inner Hall Uprising, you can rock that on your chest. Rob did make that.
I had so much fun, so you have to buy it because this shit is so fucking cute.
Yeah, it is.
We have such cute merch.
Yes,
oh my God,
do.
I'm so happy.
Yes, we do.
Stop sucking on
dick. Link to the merch will be in the show notes.
If you would like to follow me, Rob the God, you can do so at Smokin' Pippin on Instagram, the_body on Twitter, Vanta.black with the Q for my art Instagram. Maybe before 2021 is over, I'll post a piece of art. I mean,
who knows? You gotta follow and find out. You gotta follow and find out. You can see Rob's or read Rob's or hear Rob's written art on Patreon, though.
Mm-hmm. You sure can.
Yeah, you can follow me on Slam Rid. Yes, I have my own social media website. It's called Slam Rid. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Slam Rid for fun in the sun. I'll be traveling a lot this summer, so you can see that. You can see my wonderful garden, which is being infested by aphids and leaf miners right now. Sometimes you can see me spray those with natural pesticides. You can see me play tennis. You can see me play drums. You can see pictures of my ass and all that kind of fun stuff on social media. So Slam Rid. You can also support us and get some cheaper things by going to greenchef.com/IHU100 for your first box of Green Chef, and by going to takecareof.com and entering code IHU50 for 50% off your first order of Take Care. Have a lovely motherfucking summer, because you motherfucking deserve to. We love you all a lot. See you soon.
Bye.